demigods, because the demigods are in control of the creation, so you do the good work, they're the ones that give the results, so therefore you have to be very respectful towards them. But spiritual master, naturally, because he's our connection, but then with the Supreme Lord, so we're always committed to the Lord, we're committed to the, how you say, the spiritual master, and as the tendency is that the metaphysics may not be as prominent, so therefore then he's aware of the demigods. Right, but the actual point of the demigods is the connection with the Lord, how the universe is being managed under the Lord's direction. Right, so as devotees, then that should be the more prominent. But at least he should be aware of that things happen by higher authority. Because the whole idea is that it's not that I'm doing the business, I'm making the money, I'm in control, but actually there's a universal order that's there. That's what's in control. Right, endeavoring for advancement in religious principles, economic development, and sense gratification, because the point is you want to be able to enjoy yourself, you have to have the facility. The facility comes because of Dharma. So you have to be convinced that the economic process works because of Dharma. Right? Because otherwise the tendency is to have money, that's all that matters. If I have money, then there's sense gratification. Right? But the point is money is there because of Dharma. Right? So that has to be very clear. Believing in the words of the spiritual master in the scriptures, so it has to be that this is where authority is. Otherwise, the tendency is because of passion, ignorance, is just whatever you feel, whatever you want, and everything. Right? So we can see it's now that we're coming down on the levels, that this position of the Vaishyas is actually quite elevated. Right? Because they always have that faith in the spiritual master of the scripture. And then always endeavoring with expertise in earning money. These are the symbols. So it's not that they're, in other words, their making of money should be successful. They have to actually use expertise. They have to know what they're doing. So it's not saying mastery. That will come with time. That's the individual. But expertise means they have the knowledge, right? And they're applying that knowledge very well. So because if they don't get the money, where does the money come from? Right? Kshatriyas tax. They're not producing the money. Right? Brahmins are receiving charity. They're not producing the money. Shudras are doing work. They're not producing the money. So the Vaishyas are producing money. Therefore, they should be expert. Because they actually produce the money for the whole social system. Right? Just like Brahmins have the knowledge for the whole system, Kshatriyas create the protective environment for the whole system, Vaishyas create the economics for the whole system. So then we come to the Shudras. Offering obeisances to the higher sections of society, the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, being always very clean, being free from duplicity, serving one's master, performing sacrifices without uttering mantras, not stealing, always speaking the truth, and giving all protection to the cows and Brahmins. These are the symptoms of the Shudra. First one. It is everyone's experience that workers or servants are generally accustomed to stealing. A first-class servant is one who does not steal, right? Because that's just the way it is. I probably gave the example of even there's stealing, but it's not stealing. Okay, in his house, then you have so many families, right? Because there'll be all the different brothers and all that. So they have all their families. They all have their servants, right? So they're all doing their own cooking, their own purchasing. And they send the servants out to buy things, right? So now, he gives an example, there's five families there. So that means there's five servants. So now, if each one wants a kilo of portals, so each goes to the market, and you buy at retail price a kilo of portals. But now, the servants, because they always, you know, servants are servants, so they have a camaraderie there, naturally. Now, they can figure out that why will each individually buy 1 kilo of portals at retail price, right? Because that's the money you're given for, and that's what you're expected to get. They can go to the market, and with 5 kilos, they can buy wholesale 5 kilos of portals. It's cheaper, right? And then they divide it up, each gets their kilo of portals, and then they take it back home, right? Now, The difference between the wholesale and the retail, that they split amongst themselves. So technically it's stealing, but it's not stealing. You know what I'm saying? Because on their own, each family couldn't do that. Unless they organized that, okay, somebody goes out by five. So technically they're not stealing because that's the money they would spend anyway. But in one sense it is. So Prabhupada says, servant means thief. Yes?
We used to have, when we were working, they get cooked. We were doing hamburgers like that, but they pay with the lunch check. And when they get over, you know, when you go to take the lunch, you just can have it this, but you cannot get money back. So they left some over. So we was just doing the check, and every day we had like 50, 60 extra, and we divide it the same way.
Okay, yeah, like that. So it's like, so that's the whole thing, is that it's not, but it is. So it means there's those who steal, that's just not allowed. Then there's those who are going to do this kind of stealing. It's not stealing, but they're just taking advantage of the situation. But he's saying first class is one who doesn't even get involved in that, because then they would say, hey, you're all buying, then we could go and we could buy like this, and then we could save money and stuff like that. That would be first class. But if they're doing the other one, it's understood. It happens. That's just standard. So therefore, why? Because you're working on the principle, it's all about the master. Right? Because what are you trying to get to? It's all about Krishna. It's all about the spiritual master. Right? And so here's, in other words, as you go down in the system, it becomes more and more obvious the central principles. Does that make sense? So here it's that the Vaishya, it's the spiritual master. He's taking care of like this and that. But the rest of the time, he's just doing what he's doing. Right? There's the instruction and like this. But he's only serving like when the spiritual master's there or doing the puja, things like that. The Kshatriya, then he's always working with the Brahmins, right? Who are representing the Lord. But here the Vaishya, the Shudra, then, because the mentality, he has to constantly be thinking about the master and is constantly doing that service. Does this make sense? So in other words, the same principle of surrender to authority, which means ultimately the Supreme Lord, is there in each of the four orders. But what happens is that it becomes more and more kind of external. So it's more and more obvious to the individual. We see what happens. So they're all working on the same principle. So that's why it's not technically a difference between them. What they're trying to obtain, what principles they're working on, it's just the externals that they express it through becomes different. Does that make sense? So you can see, it's Varnasha is very scientific, very thought. So as soon as you start messing with it, no, but why can't I do this or this? That's why Krishna says, don't do that. You do your duty, don't do someone else's, because the point is, this is not that the Shudra couldn't do something else, or the Vaishya can't do something else. But they won't have the mentality for it. Right? As soon as they try to take, let's say, the Brahminical, then they won't. It won't be based on the scripture in that, because it's not a matter of, you know, sense. So here they have to be clean. So that means they'll be physically clean and this and that. But they may not catch suci. You understand? Purity. But the point is cleanliness is a gross form of purity. Purity is the subtle form. Because what you're trying to get to is purity and consciousness. Right? But if you're regularly clean, you're clean, your environment's clean, your clothes are clean, you're engaged pretty much a lot in cleaning, then it keeps the heart clean. Right? So like that. Being freed from duplicity. So is that one has to be straightforward, because the idea is it should be about truth, which means about the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord based on the scriptures, right? So then we saw is that then you're dealing truth, meaning that that's the principle, but you know, there's the political. Then you'd be dealing in truth, meaning that you're making profit, but you don't necessarily tell anybody what you're doing. And here, then there's just no duplicity. Right? Does that make sense? So it starts getting grosser and grosser, but it's the same principle. The same connection. Is it's trying to be that everything's based on the higher absolute. Because if you're not being duplicitous, why are you being duplicitous? Because the higher principle. Right? So the others, you're truthful. Here it's you're not duplicious. You understand? So if they don't think about it from the scriptural point of view, or they're not necessarily telling the truth, but they're not being duplicious. Does that make sense? So it's okay. Serving one's master, we explained that. Performing sacrifices without uttering mantras, like Prabhupada mentions here. Then, okay. Here it is recommended that first class Shudra must remain very clean, must not steal or speak lies. He must always render service to the master. A Shudra may attend sacrifices and Vedic ritualistic ceremonies along with his master, but he should not utter the mantras, for these may be uttered only by the members of the higher sections of society. Right? So it means performing sacrifices doesn't mean he's doing them himself. He's attending along with. Does that make sense? Yes.
Maharaj, I try to understand still this sutra thing because...
Sutra?
Sutra.
Okay.
Because Vidura, he was so qualified, but he was considered still sutra. Can you elaborate?
So because that's his... means, in other words, he's serving his master. Who's his master?
King.
Okay. But, and what service is he rendering? He's a prime minister. Yeah, but for him, it's a service to that. But like for the Brahmin, that would be he's in the advisory position. Him, it's just like Sanjaya. Sanjaya is a charioteer, he's a shudra. But so Vidura and Sanjaya, both shudras, are two of the most confidential, servants and advisors to the king.
Advisors? You mentioned
Maharaj,
servants and advisors.
But I'm saying he's giving advice, but he's doing it simply as service. You know what I'm saying?
Like Rupa and Sanat?
No, it's... So you have to catch the context that the word's being used in. That's the problem. That's why in Sanskrit you can use very exact words and they mean. But in English you have words that, you know, you can get 20 meanings out of, depending on the context. You know, it's like here. I go to the market. Okay? I go to the market. It means I go, you don't go. Or I'm going, so I'm going to the market. I'm going to the market. Like it means I'm going to the market. You said I'm not going. I'm going to the market. You know? Or I'm going to the market means I'm going now, hey, you know, got to know this, you know. And to, you understand?
It's very difficult.
You understand? I'm going to the market, you know. Oh, you're just going out walking around. No, I'm going to the market. See? You understand? And then riots start over a word.
It's
just where you put the emphasis, the context, and all that. So that's, English is very good in the way of, if you want to use it in diplomacy, you want to use it in poetics, right? Because they're connected. Romantics and diplomacy are very intimately connected. So it works very well in that. For exact definitions in philosophy and that, one has to be careful. There are words, but people don't hardly use them. You know, like that. English language has huge amounts of words. People just use a few thousand of them. Like that. But there's really exact words, because it's a form of German. So it does have exactness, but no one uses it like the Germans do. So it's very hard to establish.
But was your point that Vidura and Sanjaya were dependent on their king, but the king Brahman is not dependent?
Yes, yeah? Yes. That's why when I said advisor, then he saw advisor was used in both, and so he became confused. So that's why I made that point. So, yeah, you understand what he had said, is because they're dependent upon the master there, while the Brahmins are independent. They can come and give advice or not. And their duties are still performed. They could stay at home and do their puja and not go do that, and they'd still be Brahmins. But as a service, because they have that ability, and the king has that faith and is respecting, then they're going and doing that job. But if the king doesn't respect, they don't go. But But if the king doesn't respect Vidura, he still does his job. You understand? So it's only when you see he never goes, even though he's being disrespected the whole time. But when Duryodhana throws him out, then he leaves. Yes.
But when Dhritarashtra called for him, then he was coming.
Yeah, then he would come. Yeah. Because that's the nature. The Shudra works for the master. Right? And Sanjay, because the whole point is this. So many of the good advices and directions and why things go nicely in the Mahabharata is because of Vidura. Right? And you see is that the whole Gita is revealed through Sanjaya. So that's why in the Vedic system, the Shudra's not the point is they have what they do because of the mentality. Right? So now that service of the master means there's that emotion, there's that sentiment, there's things like that. Business, you know, with the family there is like that, but in doing your occupation, you can't be sentimental and do business. Right? Same with the king, same with the Brahmin. But the Shudra can be sentimental in his occupation because he's dealing with a person. Right? So that's what we're saying. In the Vedic sense, the relationship between the Shudra and who they work for was like family. You know, so they're saying, oh, we have to work for the master, but it was like family. And you say, no, but why master? So it's, well, who's the master of the child? We call it parent, and then it's okay. And if we use the term master, then everyone gets all upset. That's what I'm saying. This is just semantics. This is what's called in Sanskrit, in logic, called chala, which means you're cheating. You take the context, you take the word that the person said out of context as something that serves your purpose, and then use it against the person. Right? That's called chala. So that's generally what people use in meetings, and that is chala. It's like you say something, and then they take the word in a different context, and no, you said and this and that, and they make a whole scene out of it. But it's about intent. So, does that work? And so therefore, it's not that when the master goes to the religious ceremonies or does these, he doesn't take part. You know, it's not like, oh, they're doing that, and so I'm going to go, you know, go home and, you know, play video games or something, right? No, they also attend. So therefore, they're getting all the same kind of benefit. They're not the yajaman, but they're assistant to the yajaman. So they're also getting the benefit. But it says they don't chant the mantras. Why don't they chant the mantras? Because the tendency is that, because it's about sentiment, right? Because the other three is about authority, right? One is the highest authority, means that scriptural. The other one is the scriptural and the practical. The third one is the practical, and now here it's the emotional. You understand how it's descending like that? So then the mantras, they have to be chanted exactly in a certain way. When it says the mantras, it doesn't mean like Gita mantras or that. It means the Vedic mantras. Right? So when it says that, it means the Vedic. Because in the Vedic sacrifice, you use the Vedic mantras. But if you're using the classical mantras, then anybody can chant those. That makes sense? But the Vedic, because they have to be chanted in exactly a specific way. And the tendency is, if an artist, they'll want to adjust it to how it sounds good. Right? You know, you can say it's a very classic example. Is anybody's heard Paisa? That is, you know, very early. I think it's from the Radha Krishna album. Like that Jamuna Devi, she recorded. And she sang the song Bhaja Hare Mana. You ever heard that? How did she sing it? Bhaja Hare Mana? No. Bhaja Mana Hude. Prabhupada said, why do you do that? It sounded bad. Prabhupada said, don't change it. So, you understand? So in the here, it just sounds a little funny, or it may kind of not get, but you can put it together because of the poetics. But the Vedic, you change it. Instead of getting someone who's Indra's enemy, you get someone who Indra is his enemy. You understand? Because that's the whole point, is that you have the particular term that means Indra, he's producing someone who will be Indra's enemy. Means the killer of Indra. But in it, you have these Dirgu Dutta, where it goes, like that. If you put it at the beginning, then it means Indra's his enemy. You put it at the end, it means he's Indra's enemy. So he put it in the wrong place. Right? Though grammatically both work, but it's just what you want. So it's not that he chanted the word wrong, he just put the Dirgu Dutta in the wrong place. So he got someone who, you know, will be killed by Indra rather than someone who will kill Indra. You understand? Yes.
When we chant the Brahma Gayatri mantra, we don't have the intonation there. So does it decrease the effect of the mantra?
The point is the mechanical effect maybe, but it's the point is about your devotion. So we're able to chant because of the performing devotion service. Chanting it on its own, not so much. Okay. Right, because it's just a support for the Pancharatra Gayatris, which are support for the holy name. Yes? No? Because the point of the Brahma Gayatri is to bring one to the platform of Brahman. That I'm not the body, I'm the soul. Right? So that neutral platform. It's a masculine position, it's a Purusha position. That I'm not. Men will think material, spiritual, devotional, or transcendental, right? Women will think material, transcendental. Understand? So, therefore, it's considered a Purusha mantra. Does that make sense?
Almost.
What didn't make sense?
I didn't understand the difference between. Well, I don't understand the meaning of Purusha mantra.
Purusha means it's according to the mentality of men. Because women think rasa, they don't think so much tattva. It means you classify things, but it's about what's the experience you get from it, what's the flavor you get from it. Well, the men can look at something, just analyze it for just exactly what it is. That's why Shankarshan is tattva, and it's a masculine position. But Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva, that means where the masculine and feminine are interactive. Right? It means the knowledge is being applied in relationship. That makes sense or not?
Yes. Right?
So we're saying this is a mantra that is for establishing that aspect of Sankarsha. Does that make sense? So that's typically then why it's restricted on its chanting, because Shudras will be in the feminine position. Well, the Dvijas will be in the masculine position, so therefore they'll use it, the Shudras won't. Does that make sense? Yeah, so because one, it doesn't match the mentality, and two, the tendency is not to worry about chanting them properly. That makes sense. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Unless one is completely pure and has been raised to the standard of a Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, in other words, unless one is a Dvija, twice born, the chanting of mantras will not be fruitful. So the point is, it just won't give you the effect. You can chant it all you like, you just won't get the effect. It's not because I'm chanting it, therefore it gets effect. We're not the one that creates effect. Right? We're not the effective cause. Right? Krishna's the effective cause. He's the one, he's cause, he's effect. We're just instrument. Does that make sense? So he is the original cause. He expands as the material world. And we can be an instrument in the transformation of the material world, but we're not the one that actually makes the effect. You understand? Just like, let's say, for example, if you're cooking, we'll say, I'm cooking. But what's cooking? Right? Cooking is where the raw material is being applied to heat in a controlled way until it comes to the point where we call it, you know, edible. Okay? Now, are you actually making the vegetable hot and transforming it? No, that's happening in the pan. And you're touching the pan with a spoon. You understand? So we're only an instrument in cooking. Cooking's going on its own. Cooking's independent because cooking's Krishna. So we're taking part in the feminine aspect of the forms and action. So utilizing the proper forms and the proper action. But we're not actually causing the transformation of the material energy itself. That Krishna is doing through his energy. So that's the material cause. So we're only the instrumental cause. But we think that we're the Lord and Master. That's the disease. Does that make sense? Does that make any sense then? Okay, works. Okay. So the point is it won't be fruitful because that's the way Krishna says it will be. You know, he says, no, we can chant with bhakti, but the point is if Krishna doesn't want you chanting it, why would you use that as a form for bhakti? In other words, if my point of bhakti is pleasing Krishna, and Krishna says I should do a certain thing, why wouldn't I do that to please him? Why would I demand, no, I can do that to please Krishna? No, that's for someone else to do. Right? Otherwise, what makes the specialness of the Brahmins? They chant the mantras. Right? Would you be comfortable that all the Brahmins are doing business? Right? You understand? Right? Instead of teaching, they're doing business. And they're saying we're Brahmins. You understand? So that's the whole point. Everybody does, they specialize. Then you get the quality comes out better. So the whole point is the system is one system and it has all these divisions of work to be done. So when it does one's work in that division, you get a good result on the overall total. But when people look at it, what benefit I'm going to get out of it, that's not the Vedic system. Right? That's sakam, and that's very low level. Naishkarmya is standard. The Vedic system means Naishkarmya. I'm doing it as a sacrifice for a higher purpose. That's human. That when I just do it for myself, technically that's animal. So that's the whole idea, is that one's trying to come up to the human platform and be part of the bigger picture rather than it's all about myself. Does that make sense? Okay. Then text 25. To render service to the husband. Okay, now we've dealt with the four varnas. Right? Because this is the first thing. Then, that's what the men. Then the women are in their own category. Because they have these natures, and they have their own nature. Right? So, the point is this, the brahminical aspect, let's say, of the a Brahmin woman, that's already been explained. Or the Kshatriya, the Vaishya. But now it's describing the feminine aspect. It's not discussed in the other. Because this meets the mentality of the women. Right? To render service to the husband, to be always favorably disposed towards the husband, to be equally well disposed towards the husband's relatives and friends, and to follow the vows of the husband. These are the four principles to be followed by women, described as chaste. So what's important to understand here is that this is okay. We'll get to that after. It is very important for peaceful household life that a woman follow the vow of her husband. Any disagreement with the husband's vow will disrupt family life. So in other words, what he's committed to, let's say his vow, he's doing the brahminical activities and in a particular way, that if she doesn't agree with that, then it's a problem. Right? It's one thing is if he has an agreed thing and he's not doing it, so she inspires him to do it. She can disagree that he's not behaving in a proper religious way. That works. But let's say his way of livelihood is, let's say, begging. She can't say, you know, this begging is not working. Right? That's the stuff you're supposed to work out before you get married. This guy does begging for a living, so that's what you're going to live with. You don't like begging, then marry someone else. Right? So we see is that even Sudama Vipra's wife didn't say that he shouldn't do begging. Just that begging on the platform that he's doing, he's not getting very much, so therefore go beg from Krishna. Right? So, it's begging from a king, so since one's not getting enough in the standard way, therefore then you're doing what's in an emergency situation, so begging from the king is generally which is avoided, because then you take on karma from the king, which you just don't want to do. Right? If I go to an individual householder, beg from them, I take on some karma from them, how much karma I'll get. Right? It's just that one person or that one household. But if you take from the king, you take on karma from the whole kingdom. Right? So that's why it's not recommended. But it's still within the duty of begging. Right? And so she's recommending these things. But the point is he has to accept it. So she's speaking in such a way that he will accept it. That's the cleverness. Right? Does it make sense? In this regard, Chanakyapani gives a very valuable instruction. Dampatyo kalaho nasti tatra shri swayam agataha. When there are no fights between husband and wife, the goddess of fortune automatically comes to the home. Right? So that's the point, is that you have Lakshmi Devi, but then you have the wife is called the Griha Lakshmi, or the Lakshmi of the house. So when she's happy and everything like that, and it's all going there, the house is very prosperous. When she's not happy, it's not going well. Right? So now these are the instructions to the wife, not to the husband. It's very important now. The men don't go, yeah, it says here, you're supposed to rent this here, you're supposed to do the... No, that's their business. Your business has already been mentioned on these other pages here. Like that. The symptoms of a Brahman are control of the mind, control of the senses, austerity, penance, cleanliness, satisfaction, forgiveness, simplicity, knowledge, mercy, truthfulness, and complete surrender to the Supreme Lord. So the man does that, the woman will worry about these four. You understand? Because that's the tendency. The men are very expert in knowing what the women should do, but they don't know this other thing. Right? That makes sense. So that's why it all has to be balanced. So in other words, why? So when we were saying about injunctions, there's things that are saying something, right? Means that there are options, but there's also what's implied. Right, because you render a service because you could not render service. But why should you render service? Because you want to render service. And why would you want to render service? Because the husband knows how to behave. You understand? This is where it ended. In other words, this point is for the women. The men know it, so then for them to do that, they have to be someone they want to be to render service to them. Always, so that means the husband's always taking care of the wife. Always be favorably disposed towards that means he's always dealing with her nicely. Right? What does that mean? It means she's a woman, when things go crazy, he understands that. Women go crazy, and it's not a problem. But if you think, this is crazy, why are you going crazy? Then she's going to not be favorably disposed towards him. So in other words, if you want these four, it means the husband has to be doing it. He does it from his position, she does it from her position. That's the compatibility. To be equally well disposed towards the husband's relatives and friends, because those are already established. You can't get rid of the relatives. Right? They're part of the scene. They come in a package deal. Right? And he already has friends, then that goes on. Now they may, as a couple, develop new family friends and all that, and then you expand it. Right? That's the meaning of street. But what's already, you know, his his friend has been there since they were kids and not that. If they get in the way of that, then it just ruins relationships. And to follow the vows of the husband. So if he's a Brahmin, she follows those. If he's a Kshatriya, she follows those. If he's a Vaishya, she follows those. Right? So the point is that she has a nature. So that's why then a Brahmin girl marries a Brahmin boy. Kshatriya, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Vaishya, Shudra, Shudra. Right? The idea that women have no varna, that's true on the social platform, but they do have a nature. So that's, otherwise, if they didn't have a nature, why would Manu make a whole thing about how you have to have equal nature? That a Brahmin marries a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Kshatriya. Because if they didn't have a varna, it didn't matter, then, no, it means their social position will be according to the husband. He's a king, she's a queen. Right? No, it's just how, that's how it works. Okay. So when there are no fights between husband and wife, the goddess of fortune automatically comes to the home. A woman's education should be conducted along the lines indicated in this verse. So this is the education. Now, according to her nature, that's also there. It means, in other words, there's the training being a woman. Then there's the training according to your varna. Does that make sense? Just like for the brahmachari, there's the training according to ashram, how to be a brahmachari. Right? Then there's study of the scriptures of the 14 books, so all the scriptures. Then there's study according to the specifics of his nature. So like it says, Krishna and Balaram, they studied specifics for Kshatriya. Sudama Bipa would study specifics for a Brahmin. Someone else would study specifics for a Vaishya, right? Does that make sense? So you have to take, you know, here is that they're a Brahmachari, so that's generic. Then there are, have their varna. So the same thing, the training according to woman, that's the generic, and then there's specifics. Does that make sense? So this generic is always has to be seen as the main education. And then the other one is then specific for their situation. Right? So this is the education. It's not about, you know, some modern skill to get a job. That you can do, that's a side thing, that's not the main thing. Because even you have a job, you have money, if you can't work these four out, what's the point of your money? You have your money, you can't hold a house together, so that's not going to be very satisfying. The basic principle for a chaste woman is to be always favorably disposed towards her husband. Right? So it's favorably disposed, means that's the underlying. It doesn't mean that the feminine nature is not there. So when we say this, you have to understand that this is being filtered through the nature. Right? So in other words, that chastity is there, that they're favorably disposed to the husband, but its expression has its feminine method. This is where the mistake is made. Because the feminine nature on its own means contrary, elusive, and shy. That defines the feminine nature. This is Rupa Goswami. Right? How contrary, how elusive, how shy, that will be according to the individual. Left wing will be, those will be more exaggerated. Right wing, those will be less exaggerated. Does that make sense? But those are going to, so therefore then, being favorable towards the husband means they're always favorable, but it doesn't mean that it won't look contrary or be elusive or come through shyness. Right? So in other words, that's, the women can understand, by them not talking to the husband because they're upset with him, they're being favorable. Why are they being favorable? Because they're trying to discipline him so he knows how to behave properly so that things go smoothly. He should be happy, but how can he be happy if he doesn't behave properly? Right? So when he behaves properly, he can be happy. So she's favorably disposed. This makes sense. These verses are always so fun. Because you go back and forth. Yes, the women should render service to the husband and all that. The women are kind of like being thoughtful and all. The men are starting to smile and nod their heads. And then when you put it into the actual context, then the women start smiling and the men start going, what? So it's always fun. In Bhagavad Gita 140, it says, Strishu Dushtasu Varshnaya Jayate Varna Shankara. If the women are polluted, there will be Varna Shankara, population. In modern terms, the Varna Shankara are the hippies who do not follow any regulative injunctions. God bless America. Another explanation is that when the population is Varna Shankara, no one can know who is on what platform. So that's the thing. If someone can't figure out who they are, who anyone else, I can't understand it, that's Varna Shankara. Otherwise, it's very obvious. Right? It's very obvious. So that's the thing. Shankara, because there's a mix it can't figure out. So that's the basic principle. Those who don't like to follow any regulative injunctions, they're hippies. Right? That's the thing. Because others, you know, the others, you have to follow some rules. If you want to be a goth, you have to follow rules. You can't just wear anything. It's got to be black. Huh? No? The hippies, you wear anything you want. It doesn't matter. So that's the whole thing. So that's the problem, is that if the chastity is there, they'll be fixed with their own husband. Then you get a good population. Then you don't get Shankara. When the women aren't chaste, then you get Shankara. As we said, this whole process is in the control of the women. Right? So since it's in the control of the women, then the environment in which the women can be properly trained, that is very important. Right? So it's just expected this will happen. How does it just happen? You know, it's just like for the Brahmana Kshatriya, does that just happen? Influential in battle, unconquerable, patient, challenging, charitable. Does that just happen? Or they're trained? So therefore, we're talking about training for these other. Why aren't we talking about training for women? Because it's like, oh yes, we're managers. We have to have classes for training. You want to be a manager, you have to take this training course. You want to give a class, you have to have this particular thing like that. You know, but women, oh, we're not the body. Hello? That's not logical. That's called hippie. That is hippie. That's hippie. So, what does this mean? It means that, oh, if you want to be a manager, you have to take the management course, or you're not qualified to be a temple president. But, you know, I thought we're not the body. You understand? So, in other words, why is this there? Because nowadays, you have the professionals, they do courses. And what do the professionals do that we hear about? We hear about the 2-week, 10-day, weekend, right? And so therefore it's popular. And women, you know, walk around saying, we're not the body, we can do anything we want, we're independent, we're free, because that's what goes on in society, so therefore, okay, hey, cool. You know, we're not basing any of this on Shastra. You can train a Kshatriya in 2 weeks. How does that work? It doesn't work like that. It's by association, by proper direction, this and that. 2-week course, what's going to do? Especially when it's run by someone who can't manage their way out of a paper bag. You know? And I'm talking a wet paper bag. Right? So, that's the problem. The Varnashram system scientifically divides society into 4 Varnas and Ashrams. But in Varna Shankara society, there's no such distinctions. And no one can know who is who. In such a society, no one can distinguish between a Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, or Shudra. For peace and happiness in the material world, the Varnashram institution must be introduced. The Prabhupada's not saying it's a nice thing or it's good. He's saying must. And this is not something that applies in the 60s. This is eternal principle, right? Because look at this. This discussion that's going on was 5,000 years ago. Prabhupada made this, his writing, his purports, you know, in the 60s, 70s. Right? So then, how is this? So that means this, and it says it comes from Krishna. That means he, Krishna is eternal. These are eternal. So they must be there. Then it'll work. So if you can't tell, then it's a problem. So that's part of self-realization. Self means primarily the soul, but it also means the mind, the intelligence, and the body. But if you can't tell what kind of body you have, what kind of mind you have, what kind of intelligence you have, how realized is anybody? How do you get anything done? Right? It's just like if you go into the kitchen and you can't tell the difference between a grater, you know, and a frying pan, you're going to have a lot of problems. It's not going to work out very good. Right? You ever try to fry potatoes in a grater? Or grate potatoes with a frying pan? You look at it and go, oh, that's ridiculous. That's absurd. But that's exactly what we're talking about. That's Varna Shankar. They can't tell, so everybody, because I feel like it. But as we mentioned, who works on I feel like it? Shudras. And Shudras are supposed to serve a master. They're not supposed to be independent. So what happens is the Shankara means everyone's Shudra, but they take the position that I'm independent like a Dvija. That is a formula for disaster. And all one has to do is look around and see the disaster. Like that. We're not talking rocket science here, something subtle. We're talking about something, you know, right there in your face. But it's just whether you want to see it or not. So he says it must be introduced. Like that. So you have to understand how it's introduced. So who does what? Those who can manage, they manage. Who cooks, cooks. Who does the puja, does the puja. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what works. Who teaches, teaches. That's the whole idea. The symptoms of one's activities must be defined, and one must be educated accordingly. Right? So you look at all these things, so you can see is that you look at the subtlety, and from that you define the external. Does that make sense? Like there, you might say, well, how could you tell this in a child? Okay, let us say we have four different aspects. The child, I tell him this is what's correct and this is why. And they do it. Another one, this is correct and it's why, and I have to show how practically it applies and it works. But it has to be correct. Right? Another one is if you do it this way, it works out better. You don't do it this way, things don't work nicely. And the fourth one is, you do it this way, it's nice, everybody's happy, you're happy, you know. You understand? And that you can see right from the beginning. So depending upon which of those, how they respond to instruction and interaction, you can tell which varna they are. Did you catch how I described all four varnas? So that's with a little kid. Yes.
So do we really have to look at this disaster? Is there something that can be done with
the disaster? Something that can be done with the disaster. Well, it depends on what you want to, means what your nature is. If you have a business nature, then you start a newspaper and you make lots of money. You know. Does that make sense? So, you know, I said, what's that, you know? When the world gives you bad news, make a newspaper. And, you know, my grandfather told a story that there was one businessman, he got really sick and tired of bad news in the newspapers. So he thought, I'll start a newspaper that has only good news in it. It only lasted 3 weeks. No one wanted his newspaper. Good news? Hey, who wants that? He only wanted news of fresh disasters. the point is we're only making these things so that we're aware, because it's about self-realization, because you change things from changing yourself. If you could change yourself, you could change others. You can't change yourself. Like, how do you vacuum the rug if you don't know who you are? Okay, I have a rug, I have a vacuum machine, and I have an operator of the vacuum machine. So who am I in this equation? If I can't figure out who it is, the rug does not get vacuumed. Right? So if I can't figure out where I fit in, nothing gets done. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. Just like when you say we're talking about these things, that's on the occupational side by specific services. But as far as the devotional, we don't make this distinction. Then it's all Brahmins. And of Brahmins, Vaishnavas, so the topmost of Brahmins. Then within the topmost of Brahmins, then you have Kanista Madhyama Uttama. So that's the only place we make the distinction. Does that make sense? So if one can catch all that, then it makes sense. But others, oh, you want to just have to walk around with a little thing on it. No, we already did that before. The Germans are the best at that. Does that make sense?
Because all the time when we are getting someone with training, so it's all the time that someone comes and destroys everything, and then shudras become, like you said,
yeah, that's the problem with Shankara. Shankara can't distinguish, so they can't tell what's refined and what's not refined. Basically, Shankara doesn't like categorization, because as I said here, hippies, they do not follow any regulative injunctions. What's the regulative injunction for a hindi? What's your philosophy? Anything. It's all good. It's all nice. I am you and you are me and we are all together, right? You know, so that's like hippie philosophy. What does the hippie wear? Is there a rule? Do you wear boots? Do you go barefoot? Can you wear moccasins? Right? What is his name? Let's see. I can't remember what his name was. Was it Warhol? Maybe it was Warhol. The Avalon Ballroom, when all the hippies are there, then this one guy shows up, and some hippies go to and say, he can't come in here. And the others say, no, no, he is the hippie. And he was wearing like a suit. You know, because if you look at the pictures back then, most of them just had a little bit longer hairstyle, not even much, you know. And they were wearing dress casual. So they were actually quite smartly dressed. You know, but the mentality was hippie. So it just goes, and from there it goes out into anything. So what's the dress? What's the hippie food? You know? You understand? Are you vegetarian? Are you vegan? Are you, conscientious carnivore? It's a classification. You know? You only eat, you know, meat from free-range animals. You care about the animals, you know. They should be killed nicely. You know? Right? The people in Australia freaked out when somebody released on the internet a video of the cow slaughter in Malaysia. Because somehow or another, I don't know why, is you take what's from Australia, you send it out, and then you re-import it. And you can, you know, buy it for more than 60% of everything in Australia that's from Australia is imported. It's some weird kind of business thing. So someone put on the internet, and the people said, oh, this is cruel, this is that. They didn't say they were going to be vegetarians. They just thought the animals should be taken care of more nicely before they're killed. So conscientious carnivores. You know, so is that okay? You know, I mean, you use the I Ching, do you use the Prophet, do you use the, the Bible? What can a hippie use for his thing, you know? Does he wear beads or not beads? What kind of beads? You know, can he wear leather or not? You understand? So there's no rules on hippie. Hippie just means it's a mentality where I just do whatever I feel like. And I'm basically accommodating that you can do whatever you feel like. Right? So you can have hippies sitting there with clothes on, hippies sitting there with no clothes on, hippies that are taking drugs, hippies that don't take drugs, hippies that are vegetarian, hippies that are not vegetarian. The point is, it's just whatever you're doing, I'm doing this because this is me. And I understand that you're doing what you're doing because that's you. That's what makes a hippie. So the conformity is everybody just does whatever they like. But just don't bother someone else in doing what you like. At least they have that etiquette. So that's better than what you're talking about. Everyone does what they like, so you can see it's just it's more degraded now. Everyone still does what they like, but they don't mind bothering someone else. They can't handle that someone's doing something different from me, because that means makes me insecure that if I'm not doing it, what's wrong with me? Is the other person right? Or am I right? So, the difficulty comes up is that those who are untrained don't like those who are trained. Like that. That's just the way it is. It's you see the an example in the Shastra gives that the wild animals do not like domesticated animals of the same species. They'll kill them. Wild elephants come across domesticated elephants, trained elephants, they'll kill them. They just cannot tolerate. So that's the animal mentality. So, all you're doing is shifting from pleasant animal, meaning hippie, to not so pleasant animal. Does that make sense? Because if it's shankara means animal. It's just a nice term for it, instead of saying animal. And varnashram means human. So people don't get too vajiggity, then you say varnashram and varnashankara. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that someone does and someone else comes to the answer, so that's not right. But the point is this, what is it based on? Is it based on Shastra or not? The point is that they say this is wrong, what's their authority? If it's not based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then what they're saying is simply their own personal opinion. And personal opinions don't have great value when it comes to self-realization. For all personal sentiment, yes, but for going back to Godhead, that's a whole different category. Does that make sense? So, you do what you know is right, and you stick to that.
Yeah, but it's possible somehow to stop these people at least.
Don't worry about stopping them. Worry about yourself coming to the position where then, as it mentions here, one is influential. So you stop by influence. How are you going to influence? By being unconquerable, patient, challenging, charitable, control the bodily necessities, be forgiving, to be attached to the mental nature, always be jolly and truthful. That's how you influence. You understand? So it's given. You do this, then you can be influential. But it's a slow process. What's his name? Chandragupta, it took 8 years to get to the position he was in. So that means he was patient. He wasn't so influential that he had to learn how to. But why? Because he had to be able to control himself. He just saw an opportunity to fight, took it. Instead of waiting for the right opportunity to fight. Like I know one top manager, trained by Prabhupada, when he would sit in the GBC meetings, he would just sit there. Everybody's saying this and that, and he's screaming, and Brahmananda's over in the corner banging on the table, trying to get everybody quiet, and stuff like that. So it was all going on. And after everybody's spoken whatever they're going to speak, and there's nothing else to speak, that time he would talk. Because otherwise, before that was a fight, argument, this one and that one. Now hearing everybody, hearing how their angles, what they're saying, what's their approach, he would put all that together, and then he would present it. And he would just say that one thing at the end, everyone would accept. And that was his involvement. You understand? So you use this patience, and then you wait for the right time. Because time is how things work. The time's not right. You have time, place, and circumstance. So you can work on circumstance yourself, the patra. You can develop your own character and your own ability. So, does that make sense? Like that example from is by deepening your character, then that goes over. The example is given that when water goes and it hits something, if it's something small, it goes around. But if it's something big, it doesn't. It builds up. So it doesn't go anywhere, it just builds, it gets deep. And then when it's deep, it goes over. You understand? So that's deep. So by deepening the character, then you can conquer these things. But then you have to, and all these things, whether you're going around or going over, you have to have the goal. So you know the Brahminical culture is the proper thing. That's what has to be established. That's what Prabhupada wants. That's what Narad Muni wants. That's what Yudhishthira Maharaj does. That's what everybody in the line does. It's a, but it's not what he's doing. Right? Does that make sense?
So this is the Brahminical way of doing.
Because it's Brahminical culture. Within Brahminical culture, then Brahmas act as Brahmas, Kshatriyas act as Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. But every, it's about Brahminical culture. It's which part of Brahminical culture you take part in.
So, either way, this is the way of how Brahmana would deal with this?
Through Shastra. By studying and speaking. By educating. In other words, the Brahmana will educate. The Kshatriya will see education is going on, whether they're doing it or not, or someone else is doing it, but education will be there. And they will see they organize it in such a way that it does go on that way. And those who oppose it, they'll see that that's adjusted. Right? Because the main point is, as devotees, if someone opposes some of you know, the, something in Brahminical culture, why would they do that? Due to ignorance. And so therefore the ignorance has to be removed by knowledge. So therefore it's by proper association, proper discussion. Like I remember one kid, Kshatriya nature kid. He came to the Gurukul. He had never touched a broom in his life. That's something your mommy does, right? You know, she sweeps, she vacuums, you know. Boys just don't do that. So when he came to the Gurukul, he has to sweep. For 6 weeks, 45 minutes a day, we would sit and discuss sweeping. The importance of it, why, this and that. He had a million reasons, this, that. It wasn't just sentiment, it was just, you know, it was logical kinds of things like this. And then after 6 weeks, all his questions have been answered, it was clear, it was logical, and that he was one of the best kids at sweeping. But he had to be convinced it wasn't just theory. It had to be real, and it was something that was of real importance. But it took 6 weeks. But after that, you didn't have to say anything again. So that's the difference. Brahman, you just say, no, this is what done, Prabhupada says, this, that, blah, finish. Kshatriya once says, okay, Prabhupada said, but how do you apply it? Because just knowing it's not enough, you have to be able to apply it. And Kshatriya has to know how it's applied. That's why it says, Brahmins can advise Kshatriyas, but it has to be they understand the field so they can make it clear so they can use it. If you can only say it's there, of course it's real, it's nice, but that's the wrong Brahman for the Kshatriyas. You know, giving classes, this, that, great. But giving advice, no. So this whole thing, anybody can give advice, that's bogus. No, you have to know the subject matter and you have to be able to put it in the context of administering. So one has to know oneself, be convinced oneself, and then start from there. You work out from there. Right? You work, if you can get, if you're convinced and you're situated nicely, then you're going to see that, you know, things are there. Your family's like that, your friend, you know, everything within your circle, and they'll slowly go out. Right? Does that make sense? Because the point is if you can do something very big, very effective immediately, you do it. If you can't, you do it slowly. Because the point is, strategy means there's the overall. Like we were discussing last year. Strategy means you see the overall picture. So if it's establishment of Brahminical culture so that everybody can be properly situated in Krishna consciousness, so that they can, you know, that Brahminical culture, that nice karma, they'll be able to surrender their body, mind, and words to Krishna's service, then it's something to be done. That's the strategy. Right? Now, since that's the strategy, now operational, okay, now how to apply. Okay, we need education, we need good management, you know, we need, you know, how you say, to find other like-minded people, cultivate that. These are operational, right? Then is, okay, education. Then on the ground, when do we have the class? What time? What room? Who does it? What time? How long? You understand? So that's your strategic, your operational, and your tactical. So the point is if you can do something very grand immediately, why one wouldn't do it? It's more practical. Right? In other words, big operational, you do it. But if not, you do small. You understand? You know, in other words, you take it one foxhole at a time. Does that make sense? One trench at a time?
One person at a time.
One person at a time.
Not in the
group,
but okay.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, if you can do a Hiroshima, okay, you take care of it quite quickly. But if not, like you said, one person at a time. Like that. Foxhole is those little holes that they sit in. So you have yours, they have theirs, and then slowly you get theirs, so that you move forward that much. You know what I'm saying? Sorry about the, what do you call it? Militaristic example, but gee, they work so good. You know, especially coming from the Western culture in which a degraded Kshatriyas, and then they don't allow that kind of discussion. It's kind of like, that's like avoiding their nature. Because Europeans, what do? Any place they go, do they just go in and kind of blend in? But did Europeans blend in when they went to America? South America, India, China, Philippines. Anywhere they blended in? No, they go in and, you know, lay waste to everything and change it so it looks like them. So there's discussion of blend in, but what it's just a political trick too, so you don't notice that they just wipe out everything. You understand? That's degraded Kshatriya genes. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the prison. That's Europe.
That's the spirit.
Yeah, that's the spirit.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do this. You understand? So that's the thing, is that before we'd always use these, because of Gita and that, and that it's always politically incorrect to use these. But the successful, like the Orientals and that, all of their business tactics are based off of a military treatise. They're based off of Mushashi or Sun Tzu, which are the military things. And they use it, that's their Bible. So it's like, what do you mean it doesn't work? So now we're talking, we're bourgeois, now we're all Vaishyas, you know, and sophisticated Vaishyas. And we can't use these terms. What does that mean? You know what I'm saying? So it just means it's authority issues, that's all. In other words, only I can be like a ton of bricks. You can't be like a ton of bricks. That's the meaning. Like, oh, the authority, that's too strong. But then when they get together in the meeting, they're more strong. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. How are we doing on time? Okay, 20 minutes. Okay, so now what's also on the underlying thing is that we see that there are, that means the Vedic system and explanation is so expert that in the simplest way you get the maximum done. Alright? So now, when we take the varna, since that's what we're discussing here, right? Then Brahmins are the head, Kshatriyas the arms, Vaishyas the waist, Shudras the feet. Okay? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Then we take in the ashrams, Sannyasi is the head, Vanaprastha is the arms, Grihastha is the waist, Brahmacharya is the feet. Right? So that means what applies to the Shudra applies to the Brahmachari. Right? So, here. Offering obeisance to the higher section of society, being always very clean, being free from duplicity, serving one's master, performing sacrifice without not stealing, always speaking the truth, giving all protection. To render service to the husband, to be always favorably disposed to the husband, to be equally well disposed towards the husband's relatives, to follow the vows. Do we see a similarity here? Right? Because when we talk on the social thing, then according to it, because the mentality, women will be classified as a group as shudras. Though the individual woman is not necessarily a shudra, but the feminine nature is that, because it's that of feminine. Dwijas is the masculine. Right? Because you're always going to have masculine and feminine. So you have to have the two work together. Right? Does that make sense? So that means these same rules apply to brahmacharis, because they're also the feet. So that means shudras, brahmacharis, and women, the same rules apply. Just it'll have its specific. You know, like brahmachari is supposed to be trained to be clean. Because the tendency is there'll be a slob. Right? Does that make sense? You know, and then we see in these next verses further of chaste woman must dress nicely and decorate herself with golden ornaments for the pleasure of her husband. Right? It means not for herself, it means that she's with the husband, he's there, given these, then that's there. It's not that she wears these independently, because otherwise what's the meaning? Who's she trying to impress? Right? Always wearing clean and attractive garments, right? Because the shudra is supposed to be clean, women are clean, brahmacharis are clean. Because the point is if you're clean, then there's an interest. Let's say you see a small child, and they look nice and clean. Right? Clean, dressed nicely, it looks nice, the colors of the clothes, nice, the kid doesn't care. But, you know, the mother's dressed like that. You know, he's looking clean, his hair looks nice, and everything's nice. Do you feel attracted to the kid? Now let's say, you know, he's suddenly half wearing stuff, snot coming out of his nose, you know, dirty, filthy. Do you want to go over there and give the kid a hug? No, not so much. Your own kid, maybe, but if it's not your kid, you understand? So just by being clean, nicely dressed, properly, and everything like that, just means immediately then a relationship is established. And as we mentioned, when we're dealing with the shudra mentality, it's about the relationship. Not on these, you know, spiritual, metaphysical, and these kind of things like we see in the others, or ritualistic. It's about being in the personal. Just the physical interactive that it's going to be, how you talk, how you interact. Does this make sense? So that's why it works, and it matches the mentality. Because the feminine creates the variety. So, therefore, the brahmachari is clean, he has his keeps both of his dhotis clean. The woman is clean and dressed nicely, she keeps all of her, you know, 100 saris clean. 100 works over here? Because in India I say 250 or 500, so I just want to know if I'm in the right ballpark over here.
Maybe
50. 50.
Yeah.
100 was 100 was an ideal. Hmm? 100 is too much. Standard in India is 250.
Maybe even 25 years is kind of considered most serious.
Oh, good. I mean, it's like that. You can get by with 12, you know. But the point is that it depends on the social scene, because here it's not available, over there they're available. So, you know, for the festival you wore this sari, you can't wear it for a while, otherwise you have no other clothes. All over here you just wear what's nice, it looks good and it works and it's comfortable. So it's just the difference in that. Remember what? As when Rasa, they were supposed to come for at some point, they were expected to come to, I think, to India for something. Then they found out they couldn't come, because what happened was that his wife had 500 saris, and in the room where they kept it on all the shelves, the whole thing collapsed because it was just too much weight. So they had to spend $80,000 to redo the whole wardrobe so they could actually handle the 500 saris. So they couldn't actually come over at that time because of the money and also the effort to put it together. And so then instead of coming in Gorpuri, they came in Karti. She should sweep and clean the household with water and other liquids so the entire house is always pure and clean. Right? The brahmachari is doing this because he's assisting the master. The wife is doing this because she's assisting the master, but the difference is she'll have the sense of proprietorship. Brahmachari doesn't. Right? In other words, brahmachari is a slob because there's no proprietorship. So on one sense, it's a good thing because they don't have the sense of I and mine. But the weakness is then the standard of cleanliness, which Krishna likes, then is weak because it's, you know, this is all Maya anyway. Right? Does that make sense? So you have to be able to balance, because they have that one, you have to balance it with actually the other. Right? And so here, because it's mine, then you have to balance it with taking care of it. Then you're responsible to take care of it. It's your house, so you have to take care of it. Does this make sense? So the Vedic always has always this aspect where you have your rights, but you have your obligations. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. And so but the principle will always be the same. So the brahmachari's right is he doesn't have to be attached. But his obligation is still he takes care of it because it belongs to the master. You know, the spiritual master, it belongs to the temple, it belongs to wherever he's serving it. So he renders service that way. For the woman, she has the right to be attached in the possession. But then she has the obligation to maintain it. Does that make sense? So it's always balanced. That's the thing, that's why you don't want to mess with the Vedic. You want to understand it and then apply the time, place, and circumstance. Because it says here, always, household with water and other liquids so the entire house is always pure and clean. So what that means, what kind of house you have. Okay, here we have a wooden floor. So liquids and water is going to mean one thing. If you have a rug here, that's going to mean another thing. You know, if you have wood walls or you have stone walls or you have, wallpaper, it's going to make a difference. You know, you have paint that's washable, not washable. Understand? So that's time, place, and circumstance. But the point is you're going to apply the necessary things to make the house clean. Does that make sense? So that's what the Vedas is talking about. And it matches the mentality, because it's mine, it's going to be clean. The guy wants to wear this shirt, she says, no, you wear that shirt. Right? Why? Because that shirt doesn't look as good. Or the situation is, no, you got to look like this. Because why? The husband is hers. And so when she goes out, see, because the man thinks, the point is the man is thinking, means she's wearing this nicely and decorated herself in gold ornaments for the pleasure of the husband. The husband is happy, but she could wear the same thing every day and he'd be happy. Right? So the variety is there because of the other women. They're the ones that notice everything. Does that make sense? So the point is the husband thinks I'm wearing my shirt. No, he's going out as the husband of the woman. And so the other women are going to see how the husband's dressed and then decide how well is she doing her job as a woman. Right? Because if he looks like a slob, she's not doing a good job. That either means that she doesn't have a standard of cleanliness or she can't control her husband. Yes?
What about if the husband is cleaning, he is dressing him up himself as he likes and he designed the house as he likes. And wife is frustrated.
So you have to consider what does she want? Because the point is this, it's cooperation. Because if you just want to do your own thing yourself, why get married?
What about the wife is all of them claiming, oh, you are too clean, I don't like it.
That's why in the chart you check what is the combination. Daiva likes things always clean. Rakshasa never likes things clean. Manusha likes things clean when it's clean time and messy when it's messy time. Right? In other words, you come into some houses, they're always clean. You come into some houses, they're always messy. And you come into some houses, depending on when it is, if it's just private moments, it's messy. But when it's public moments, it's clean. That's Manusha. So you have to, that's why in the chart, these things have to be matched. Otherwise, they're just driving each other nuts. Manusha and Daiva can work, right? Because they both have the point of clean, though there is the messy part. And Manusha and Rakshasa can, because they both have the messy part, not the clean part. But Daiva and Rakshasa, they will never see eye to eye at any time, at any place, in any circumstance. That's why these things are there. And people, oh, it's love, it's this, conquers everything and all that. Somehow this love conquers everything, but we're not this love, right? You know, somehow love. But then, you know, but then, okay, but what about this? Oh, but that's charged, that's material, we're not this body. But what about the love, you know, the love that is? And, yeah. Hey. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, you gotta match it. You have a particular car, particular petrol goes in it. Right? If I put the cheapo petrol in the Ferrari, what happens? Yeah, it falls apart. So you have to match things. We make all this matching nicely on the external. But when it comes to the subtle things, they don't even know they exist. So that's why the Vedas make all these things. In other words, you want a good result, you have to make the endeavor. So, therefore, since if you want, as it mentions here, Dampatyo Kalaho Nasti Tatra Shri Swayam Agata. When there are no fights between husband and wife, the goddess of fortune automatically comes to the house. Goddess of fortune in the house, good? Yes, okay. So therefore, if...
It's unknown.
Finances. Therefore, if one wants to make things work nicely, then the point is then you adjust. Right? The man's idea is she should adjust. No, but that's the point. Women don't adjust.
But I don't like jerks.
Point is but you have to figure out, then you find a corner. This is her corner. She can keep it how she likes. This is the way it works. You understand? So, because a woman is possessive of her bed, of her sitting place, of her ornaments, of her clothes, so those things that are considered hers, then let her keep it the way she keeps it. So, she has a closet where her clothes are, she keeps it the way she likes it. You don't keep going through and putting it in order and making it nice. No, you just leave it alone. Where a bed is, let her leave the bed how it likes. You know, if you want to take a nap, you take a nap on the couch. Right? Easy. Put the pillows, it's clean. That makes sense? Yeah. Okay? Yeah, so this is the point. You understand nature as you understand how they work. You're, in other words, it's like in Gita. Gita, do we ever perform just karma yoga or just jnana yoga or just dhyana yoga? Or they're always together? We're using our knowledge, we're engaging the senses, we're thinking about Krishna. So it's just which proportion of which time is prominent. But that combination is called buddhi yoga. So, varnashram is the whole thing together. We study it one at a time so we get a clear picture of it. But it's never applied one at a time. Right? You always have to balance all these things together. Does that make sense? Yeah, so here, so we're giving you what the Shastra is saying here, of what are the duties, right? At the same time, then we're bringing in Rupa Goswami's point of the nature of women. Right? Does that make sense? And we're also bringing in from Manu what a woman feels is hers. And then you put that together, and then you start to get something. If you take, if you don't put it all together, then it won't make any sense. especially since we tend to put things together for our own advantage. She should collect the household paraphernalia and keep the house always aromatic with incense and flowers and must be ready to execute the desires of her husband. Now, do ladies like stinky places or nice smelling places? Nice smelling places. Now, here is one, is that so what are they being, the women being asked to do? Do they like to dress nicely? Do they like to decorate themselves? Right? Do they like gold ornaments? Okay. Do they like wearing clean and attractive garments? So you can think, okay, that's all on the women, but who has to provide the clean, attractive garments? In other words, there's two garments. One's more attractive, one's less attractive. Which one do you buy? The more attractive one. Right? So it fits the nature of the women, but it also defines what everybody else has to do. So they like it being aromatic with incense and flowers. Right, the whole floral industry is going on because guys just love flowers. No, it's going because women love flowers. Right, you're at work, you were delayed in your getting your work done. You know, it was 2 days late, so your boss, who's a man, is really upset. And so then you want to do something to make it nice, so you buy him flowers, right? No, okay. So then that's the whole point. So the point is flowers, incense, nicely, because women like that. So now here's the other side of it, is one can say, why are you spending money on all these fancy clothes and gold ornaments and trying to make the place smell and all that? This costs money. But no, this is their duty. So that the man can't complain why she's doing these things. You understand? So it goes both ways. Does that make sense? So that's why these rules are so expertly arranged and worded, because it covers everything from all sides in the fewest amount of verses. That's why it's eloquence. Narad Muni speaking. He just gives us one chapter here. And he's did the four varnas, he said so clearly and exactly, because he's pulling from so many places. Right? Now he's giving women, and basically it's many verses, right? The Brahmins got one verse, Kshatriyas got one verse, Vaishyas got one verse, Shudras got one verse. Women are getting, here it looks like, four verses. Right? And people are talking equality. And the fun part is we as Varna Shankara are going to get some verses here. You know, so he's covering everybody. Right? So he's a real universal preacher. He goes everywhere and he knows that we're here. Right? Okay. Must be ready. Okay. Being modest and must be ready to execute the desires of her husband. That point is, it knows what the desire is, but how it's going to be applied. That's going to be according to her nature. He wants to eat, but what he's going to eat, that she's deciding. Right? Does that make sense? So it's always this balance. Right? Because if one wants these verses just straight, hire a servant. Being modest and truthful, controlling her senses, and speaking in sweet words, a chaste woman should engage in the service of her husband with love according to time and circumstances. Right? So here again we see modest. Why? Because we're not the doer, we're the instrument. Right? But we bring up this modesty, but that matches because of the element of shyness and elusiveness can bring out the modesty. So that works. So therefore, that aspect is brought out as modesty. The brahmachari, he has to be humble, menial servant, right? The shudra simply has to be, you know, serve the master without being feeling bad about it. So it comes out in according to the nature of the same principle, right? Truthful, right? Again, here it's because truth means it has to go back to Krishna. It has to be based on dharma, right? And so therefore this truthful then will be there. So she's speaking straightforward, because if she doesn't speak straightforward, then he won't speak straightforward. right? And of the two, who's going to get most upset is her, right? So that's the point. You know, but at the same time, truthful doesn't, but it says here, speaking in sweet words, because the point is what's the ultimate sweet words?
Krishna
means the Shastra. So it's about that, you're trying to speak from Shastra. So that's the principle, is we're always speaking truth based nicely.
Not speak sweet lying.
Yes, no. Unless it needs to be, but you know. Means, in other words, truth in a particular context. So in other words, if she can't find the context to say something that's not exactly the truth, then she should not say it. You know what I'm saying? That. So in other words, she should be able to justify why she said it that way. But the more straightforward it is, the better, because then it's more clear, because men just are mechanical, so if they know who they work on the facts, and if they know it's like this, then they work that way. You know, it's really annoying after 25 years to find out there's something she's hated all along. Yes.
Could you explain elusiveness? Because according to dictionary, I can't understand.
Elusive means you can't catch it. It's hard to tell what it is.
So meaning that what she means or...
How it's presented. Okay. How you say it? Man comes home in the evening. You know, he's thinking another evening at home. And then the wife says, "We never go out." And he's thinking, "What do you mean? We went out last weekend." You understand? You understand? Or, you know, and if he's smart, he says, "Oh, okay, great. Okay, but yeah, let's go out, you know." Then, okay, so then she's elusive. She doesn't say, "I want to go out, I don't want to cook tonight, I want to go do something different because I've been doing this every night and it's getting, you know, I need variety, so let's go out." Because it's not that it's in a strategic thing, is this many days here, this many days out. It means there'll be blocks where just sitting at home or just going out or, you know, home with a little here and there or out with a little bit, you know what I'm saying? It's always going to vary. So then one understands, okay, but she's not going to say it directly. Then he's going to say, "Okay, so where do you want to go?" "Oh, I don't know, maybe, you know," that's elusive. Then the point is then what she is she, you know, has either a place she'd like to go or but is not confident about it, so she wants you to say it so that it's yes, so that it's a good one. Or she's gone to places she doesn't know, or she wants you to come up with something new. Or she just wants it, it'll be variety if you pick it. You know, so these are all elusive. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. You go down to the shop, you pick up a, you know, little plastic ring, you know, that's got some, you know, like a Pooh Bear on it or something like that. Does it cost you much? No. Okay. You go down to the shop and you get, you know, nicely set in gold, 5-carat diamond. Does it cost you that much? The one you just walk in, get it, walk out. The other one you have to go down to this, porter it, do the whole thing. So the point is if you want something valuable, you got to pay, you got to work, you got to make the endeavor. What? The Trojan War was fought over, 10 years over what?
One.
Right. So therefore, as was in the, how do you say? Can't remember. So it's the latest. What do you call it? Cosmetic commercial in India. You see it in the airport and all that kind of going on. And then after saying this whole blurb about the particular cosmetic and all that, and why, you know, it's like, why do we need this cosmetic? And then the closing line is, because we're worth it. Okay? So in other words, if they're willing to have a 10-year war, with 1,000 ships, right? And now that point is, we just hear about the 1,000 ships. But if 1,000 ships came rolling in, they would just take over Troy if there's nothing there. That means Troy had a comparable amount of army to fight for 10 years. So therefore, you want, you pay.
Way over number.
Yes. So you don't want, don't worry about it. Does that make sense? Yes. But the point is results are obtained through endeavor. The results then is in the position of Prayojana, which is in the position of the Ichashakti, which is controlled by the feminine. Right? Hladi Ichashakti. Right? So therefore, the endeavor must be made, and then it gets results. So if there's no results, this means there's no endeavor, that means there's no connection with the feminine. Because if the masculine just sits on its own side as Shankarshan, there's no connection with the feminine. So there has to be the desire as Prajumna, then the endeavor is made, then the one attains the results. Right? So those three, that's within the feminine. So if someone's not making the effort, then it's not making the connection. That makes sense? How are we doing on time? Oh, okay, so we'll stop here. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Jainadaya Gaur. Amen.
Hare Bol.
Jai.